I've discovered something new about MLS and really something new about LAFC specifically, Mario. And
okay.
LAFC is the most dominating team in MLS.
Okay.
So we'll explain that here. Welcome to LAFC. I am Dave Denholm. He is Mario Rees. We are part of the English-speaking broadcast team for the radio side of Los Angeles Football Club. Another big game. We'll talk about that. The 2-2 draw with New York Red Bulls. Sometimes a draw feels like a draw. Sometimes a draw feels like a loss. Sometimes a draw feels like a win. This one kind of had the slight feel of a win because of the way it went down in the end. Not that we're going to party like a win by any means. LAFC only accepts victories. But when you score in the 95th minute in a tough back-and-forth match, you're feeling decent about yourself, Mario.
Yeah, feeling decent for sure, but what a tough match. And right off the top, I do want to give a shout out to Aaron Long, who put his body literally on the line, on the goal line, blocking that shot from Van Zier. It was, you know, Lewis Morgan, a guy who we've been keeping an eye on, one of my favorites to watch in all of MLS. He was dribbling towards the goal and he was on a breakaway. And Aaron had to get on that horse, right, and chase him down. And that he did. And he blocked that shot at the perfect moment right at the goal line and knocked that ball out. And I did get an update from LAFC just minutes ago. And x-rays were negative on Aaron Long. So that is a good sign. And the only thing is there's no turntable for his return. So we'll know later on in the week about Aaron Long and how he's doing and when he'll be back.
Yeah, as long, that's going to be a tough one. You never know quite, you know. Yeah, obviously, it's good that it's not a break or anything like that. Certainly, you want the x-rays to be negative in that instance, but that doesn't mean he's necessarily back on the pitch immediately. Mm-hmm. Let's hope that's what happens. But yeah, it is. So we'll keep our thoughts with Aaron. And you're not wrong against his former team, selling out like that physically just to make sure. Unfortunately, they give up a goal seconds later anyway on the own goal.
Yeah.
There's very little you can do about that a lot of times. People talk about own goals like it's such a sin or something.
Mm-hmm.
98% of own goals, 99% of own goals are just a fluke, Mario. Right?
Right. But that was a great cross. I mean, that cross was in front of goal. It was a great cross. Definitely was unlucky, which is, you know, a word that comes up a lot on this podcast and this year actually for LAFC. But yeah. That's,
well, it's not like Eddie Segura is trying to head it in his own goal. It's just, it happens sometimes. That's my point. It's like, that's a fluke, right? Yeah. It's unlucky. It's a fluke. It's 99. Like, again, you might have once in a blue moon where, you know, a defender kicks the ball back to the keeper without the keeper being in net. Like, he doesn't look first or something like that, you know, and that's, you know, obviously a fluke in a way, but you know what I mean? Like, a guy puts a ball in his neck. He's not trying to do that. It's just stupid.
Yeah, and poor Eddie. I mean, he had to warm up super quickly, you know, and sprint
very
out
early
there.
In the match. You're not expecting to get in that.
You're not expecting. Yeah, you don't have the warm-ups off. Yeah, you have all the warm-ups on, so you had to take that off, then get your body warmed up, sprint out there, get in there in the middle of the box for the corner kick, which is a very dangerous play to just get your first, you know, your first touch on the ball, and then right comes right to him, of course. Yeah. And that happens. But I did see a little bit of arm that was holding him down. I don't know why Eddie didn't want to, you know, complain a little bit more about that, or any of LAFC side complain more about that, because I did see a Red Bull arm hanging on top of Eddie's shoulder, which is, I thought that should have been looked at a little bit more.
Yeah, well, taking nothing away from the match itself, for the neutral, it was a very interesting game. And the Red Bulls are very tough, as we know. They're very grinded out. No doubt about it. But here's why I said I was driving around a couple days after the match, as it turns out, before we before we do this podcast, and it struck just an absolute bolt of lightning. Thinking about the Red Bulls and the Red Bull matches. The Red Bulls are very difficult to play. We know that. They're very tough.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit more skill now. They want to play a little bit more with the ball. Mm-hmm. LAFC are the most dominant team in MLS from this perspective. It's not in their record, right? We know they're starting out 3-3-3. Nothing, you know, dramatic about that. It's not about like winning 6-0, 7-0 games. That's ridiculous. You know, teams like Barcelona do that once every year or two. I mean, Man City might be able to. That's not going to happen in MLS in general. They're the most dominant team in MLS from this perspective, Mario. And I mean, you may disagree, but every match is about what LAFC does.
Yes.
Not the style, even. Like, some teams will take it to LAFC because LAFC is letting them. Mm-hmm. Every match is determined on how LAFC plays. If LAFC plays well, they win.
Yeah.
If they do what they're supposed to do and want to do, they can't be beat. Now that you're like, oh, that's ridiculous. No, that's just the truth. That's not always going to happen, of course, because you're talking about human beings and mistakes are going to be made. That's the difference. The Red Bulls can run around all they want, play as hard as they want. A couple of key mistakes by LAFC, boom, done. Back in that. Now, you still have to finish, and the Red Bulls are a good team. I'm not taking away anything from anybody who beats LAFC on any given day or whatever. But the games are always about, did LAFC do what they wanted to do? Did they play well? Right? We've had teams play against us that played well, couldn't win. They still weren't going to beat LAFC.
Just two shots on goal for New York Red Bulls. Just two shots on goal.
They both found the back of the net.
Very unlucky for LAFC. And in that second half, it was a very, very different game, right? LAFC was pretty dominant in that second half.
Yeah. And it's not just about, don't just read it into like, well, they're not beating up teams. They're not winning 4-0. That's not what I'm talking about. It's just the imposing of how the game is, what's going on, who's, for lack of a better term, just in more control of what, if you will, not just possession. It's deeper than that. And that's why it kind of hit me like, yeah, you know, it's like if LAFC does what they want to do, how they want to do it, they can't lose.
You know what's a perfect example of what you're talking about here, Dave, is that Galaxy game. The game against the Galaxy is exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. LAFC controlled that entire game. But what was the score? It was only 2-1. But still, was there at any moment where LAFC was out of control or you felt like, oh no, here come the Galaxy? Not really, you know, because LAFC was...
Yeah, the Galaxy they had all the possession, you know, a lot of possession.
Well, yeah.
And LAFC are still pulling the strings.
Yes.
You know, to use a kind of a metaphor. They're the ones who pull the strings on matches. And that's a full credit to Steve Cherundolo and his staff and the players. It's just that doesn't mean you're going to go out and win a title every year, of course. I mean, you still have another team who's playing their guts out and playing well at times and trying to do things they're trying to do and full credit to. Now, again, that's also not going to happen every game either. But LAFC are the most dominant. Virtually every time they play, it's whatever they do is how this thing, you know, that's how it's going to go. If LAFC play a perfect game or a near perfect game, forget about it. Like, there's just no team in MLS can hang with them. We've seen other teams play really good games against LAFC and not win. That's my point. And it's not just about the results. I think people know what I'm talking about. You dig a little deeper into it, but this game kind of shows that. And the Red Bulls deserve the draw, no doubt. They could have easily won the game, frankly, if Denis Bouanga didn't hit this beautiful play down in the 95th minute.
Towards the back post, knocked down to Denis, top of the 18, on his right foot, shot, goal! His
second of the match. That one was a beauty in the 95th minute, Mario. They get the draw to stay unbeaten at home. Seems like Denis starting to heat up a little bit here now. 5 goals.
It's good to get a goal in the run of play, right? You know, he's had a bunch of PK goals, but getting that goal there, and especially when it comes to be the tying goal late in the match at home, it's that much sweeter for Denis.
But, you know, people always used to say that about Carlos Vela. Oh, look at how many PK goals he had that year with the 34 goals.
Yeah.
Everybody, 15 assists, 34 goals. And everybody's like, well, he had a lot of PKs toward the end. He's the one drawing them.
Yeah.
Who do you think they're fouling? They're fouling Denis, right? Yeah. So there is some of that. Now, granted, if somebody gets fouled and Denis steps up to take it, of course he should take the penalty, or Christian Espinosa should take it for San Jose, no matter who gets fouled. You know, there's guys who are great at PKs. I'm not downgrading that, but you can't like also fault a guy for scoring PK goals, especially when he's the one getting fouled. You know, like, I mean, what do you think's happening here? He's creating these penalties too.
And he's rocked the post and, you know, the crossbar so many times this year. Sometimes those PK goals are very important because those kind of keep you at your confidence level very, very high, you know, because those PK goals, you can see the confidence in Denis when he steps up to the spot. And just like this one, this past over the weekend, Red Bulls keeper Coronel, he was talking to Denis, trying to psych him out, but you aren't going to do that to Denis. And Denis steps up there, he buries it, no question. And then before he does the front flip, he blows a kiss at Coronel, which is kind of cool to see. And then Denis goes and does the front flip and, you know, puts his hands up to the sky, which is what we love to see.
But even his opponents can't really hate Denis Bawonga. Like, he's just, you know, it's all in good fun, you know. Like, not to say that Coronel's probably happy with that. He just gave up a goal. But I will say this about the Red Bulls. I'm glad that, look, if we play him in a final, if you play him in the MLS Cup, I'll take my chances. I don't have a problem with not playing the Red Bulls again this season, thankfully. I mean, they're just, it's a tough game. They're good.
Yeah.
They're really good. They're really gritty. They're not overly physical in the sense they're not dirty or anything like that, but they just, they're beating you up. They're hustling. They don't give an inch. You know, that's fine. That's the way it should be. But they also have now a little bit of an injection of skill, maybe more. And maybe it's just the way they play. It looks more skillful too, you know, like, but the players they have are very good. They like the system. They're going to be a tough out in a very tough East, frankly. They're going to be right up there.
We've been keeping our eye on this Red Bull team since the first episode of LAFC Plus. And, you know, they've beaten Inter Miami. They beat Cincinnati. They picked up a draw on the road against LAFC. And New York seems to play very well on the road sometimes, sometimes even better than at home. So this is a very dangerous team. So viewers, listeners, please keep your eye on these guys, New York Red Bulls. They could do damage in the Eastern Conference for sure in the playoffs.
And yet, like we talk about, again, all that praise, their two goals were two mistakes by LAFC.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. If LAFC cleans that up, the Red Bulls don't have a lot of chances. Hugo Lloris made one good save, great save, when he had to. I'm not taking anything away from Hugo. It's not like he was responsible for the goals by any means either. But he made one great save. That was it. You know, it wasn't like the Red Bulls were just, you know, creating chance after chance. Nobody does that in general against LAFC. And that's the thing where we go back to, it's just a matter of LAFC cleaning up things. The goals are starting to come. What, 11 goals the last four games, I think, for LAFC? 13 in the last five, something like that. So the goals are starting to click. They're coming. You got to clean it up defensively, you know, and unfortunately, with the Aaron Long potential injury or whatever, however that goes in terms of, you know, time frame, a little less depth there. We saw Jesus Murillo miss the match for a little bit of an injury. So it's always a question in MLS, right? Keeping healthy too. So that's going to be a key for the black and gold, no doubt about it. Let's move on to the youth movement, Mario, after this very tough game. We saw some good minutes from Omar Campos off the bench. Christian Oliveira, obviously, still in the starting lineup. It wasn't a great match for Christian based on, I think, a lot of what the Red Bulls tried to do and took, they kind of took him out of this match. Now they got burned by Denis Bawonga, which is your kind of your pick your poison here. But yeah, it wasn't a great match in terms of how he wants to play. He got some, you know, some work done. And then Nathan Ordaz comes in late, getting some key minutes off the bench there to kind of keep that pressure. You know, Kai Kamara probably, didn't run out of steam, but he probably, that's about as many minutes as you want him to go in that kind of a game in his first start for LAFC. So some good movements there. Elsewhere around MLS, Mario, we see young players having an effect an awful lot. And a guy we talked about after he scored a goal last week, well, here he is again, Julian Fernandez.
Yeah.
This kid late in the game for NYCFC. This one's not a game winner. It kind of seals the deal, though, against DC United. He's so good. He is really.
That wasn't an easy finish, Dave. That was not easy at all.
No,
but he hit it perfectly with that left foot. It was a long cross from distance, and to hit that ball the way he hit it, and the pace that he put on that ball and the placement was perfect too.
Yeah, it really was.
He's good.
He just knows how to play. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot of factors for players that you can look at, regardless of age. It's like, what, you know, people talk about their IQ, obviously all the physical traits you need. He's got all that. But it's that IQ of, like, just knowing how to play, knowing what works, what might not work, you know, like just little thing. Now, again, a guy like Messi takes it to a whole another level with every thought, with every movement, you know. Yeah. I actually will get to that in a moment. But, like, a guy like Julian Fernandez, you just can tell with some guys, like,
they make it look easy, Dave.
Yeah, he just knows what he's doing. That's an easy way to put it. And for a 19-year-old, that's not always the case. That's the bottom line, you know.
You know who else is cooking up, though, this season for NYCFC? Is the Uruguayo Santi Rodriguez. Have you kept an eye on him, Dave?
Of course.
He is the one who assisted on that goal for Fernandez. And Santi Rodriguez bagged himself a goal in that match as well. So he already has four.
Yeah, he pulls the strings. Like
he has four goals himself, so he's Fernandez doing really
still,
well.
Yeah, Fernandez is still finding his way. He needs help, obviously. He's a attacking player. It's the guys who pull the strings like that, like Rodriguez, who are just that's where NYCFC is going to live or die, right? It's a guy like Rodriguez. If you could stop him, you're going to have trouble if you're NYCFC. And we've seen that. They've been beat, but I think they're starting to turn it around overall too.
Yes,
and there's a lot of talent on that team. A lot of talent. Yeah. We know the field that they play on is a little tight, so it's a little bit of an advantage in that sense that they're used to that. Maybe teams coming in are not quite used to that. We saw LAFC go there a few times, and it took a while. It took some adjustments, you know? Like,
it's so weird to even watch on TV. It's so odd. Sure. I can only imagine the players, you know?
I do think that camera angle they have at Yankee Stadium doesn't help.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
It's different. It makes it look like they're playing in my backyard. Is what it does.
Yeah.
Right? It looks like
so true.
How can you fit 22 guys on that field, right? It just makes it look worse, I think. It is smaller, no doubt. There's definite differences. Plus, it's weird the way it lines up with the baseball field and how it fits into the stadium itself. So your angles are weird. I don't know how it is going to a match. I happen to have never, watched a match as a fan or anything. Never been for that. But it's just odd. So it throws it off. It does. It looks like they're playing in your backyard. That's exactly what it is.
Dave, like, you're talking about backyard, and it just having flashbacks to yesterday. We had a birthday party for my son in the backyard.
Yeah.
We had food, family, friends. We had a taquero. Oh, my God. He was serving up all the tacos. But anyway, this is like the seventh time we've sang happy birthday to my son. So I wanted to ask you, are you the type of person that celebrates your birthday all month long?
No.
Or are you the type of person that does like, okay, just give me like one little dinner and then I'm done? Because there's people like my wife who's bringing it down to my son now. Now my son thinks this is okay to celebrate all month long his birthday.
No, that's not me. Sorry. My birthday was just a few days ago. And
yes.
As far as I'm concerned, nobody would know. That'd be fine.
Happy birthday, my man.
Thank you. Yeah, it's lovely that people, I love it that people reach out and say happy birthday. That's very nice and everything. But people always ask, I think it was last Thursday, right? A general Thursday, right? What are you doing on your birthday? Are you doing something? It's Thursday. What do you want me to do? I mean, I don't know. I'm living. It doesn't really. Yeah, we're going to, me and my wife, daughter, we're going to go for a nice dinner, whatever. That's fine. That's great. But what am I, what am I going to take a trip somewhere? I'm a Thursday afternoon. I got to, work. Everybody, my family's working, my school, it's Thursday. I don't know. I think people. That's fine if people love their birthday like that. It's just some people don't in the sense of I don't care how old I am. I'm not worried about that. It's just,
it's just
another day. I'll try to pick something I want to do, You know what we actually did? Stupid, but I just went and saw a little bit of a sporting event, local college thing right near the restaurant we were going to. So I looked up the schedule. I said, let's just go to, watch a few innings of this softball game for a local college. Just for fun.
Yeah.
Let my daughter see some, young women playing softball or whatever. Because my daughter's pretty young. And so we did have really a few innings. That way she doesn't get bored, or whatever. My wife doesn't particularly love sports either. So, but it was close to the restaurant. We were going, okay, go check on that and then go to a restaurant, have a nice dinner, whatever. It's like, so I'm not a seven birthday happy birthday. I was surprised my wife and daughter actually sang happy birthday to me twice that day. Breakfast in bed, lovely. They sang it then. I thought that was it. But they ended up having a little like a mini cake later, after our dinner, we came home and they sang it to me again. I was a little surprised they got, two happy birthday songs. So,
yeah, but that's it, right? Just one day. Let's celebrate it one day and that's it. Thank you. That's how I feel.
Over under of 1.5 people sing you, or times they sing you happy birthday. That should be about,
that's about right.
For all of us D-gens out there. speaking of birthday cakes, let them cook. Oof. Prince Owusu blowing out the candles of that match against New England Revolution for TFC, Mario.
Yeah.
When I saw this goal.
And we were watching in the booth.
Yeah. Tough to explain for like a podcast, an audio podcast. And we don't have the video here. If you're watching on YouTube, we're not going to show the video. Holy cow, go find this goal. Go find this goal. We were watching in the booth. Mario, I didn't know. Even as I watched it with my own eyes.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell how he scored that at first. Oh my goodness.
It took us a couple times, right? We were watching in the booth prepping for our game, which was later on that night. Yeah. And then we're watching on the laptop, I believe. And then we also had a TV up in the corner there. So we're watching a bunch of games. Yeah. But when this one popped up, we were like, wait a second. Did he mean to do that? Exactly. Because he jumps up and he collides with the defender. But then somehow the ball just comes off the back of his heel with so back much heel. Pace.
Yeah.
Yeah. With so much pace, running, like force.
Yeah, he's kind of coming across the six. And I don't know exactly how far away he was. He wasn't like super close to the keeper. In traffic, ball comes in, and he's like running. Let's say he's at the, you know, our stadium. And we're on the side. We're on like, you know, the side of the stadium that's the west side of the stadium. He's running towards us, and he lets the ball go by him to do the back heel with his right leg. So his right leg is away from goal. His left leg is closest to goal as he's running across the six. And holy sweet mercy, that what a goal. I mean, like, at first you have to watch it back because, like Mario said, you don't even know what happened in a sense. Or was it an own goal? You know, did it flip off of somebody? Did he miss the ball and it knocks off? He meant to
do it. No, he meant it.
To do it. And the more you watch it, the more convinced you are of that. It's one of the best goals you're going to see. I mean,
the awareness, the body control to hit that with his back heel, and you see that power coming off of his back heel.
Yeah.
That was an amazing goal.
You don't teach that. You know, like, so often we've talked about it on the show a lot. You see that, you see strikers just think about things too much, and then it falls apart, right? Defenders are too fast. They're too quick. Their makeup time is too good. You can't think. And I'm not saying he didn't think about it, but he didn't let it bother him. Like, it was just like, I'm going to score. Like, you can see a goal scorer that has those, somehow they pull a half bicycle kick out of their, you know, out of the air somehow. Or this is kind of similar to that. Just instinct, pure instinct.
Yeah.
And he's probably done it on the, you know, he probably did it on the sand lots or playgrounds when he was 10 years old. But to do it here, wow, what a goal. He's a good player. And to get a win without Insigne, any points they can get without that dude in the lineup, huge. I don't care who you're playing. Yeah, just incredible goal. Let him cook. Try to find that. He is a good goal scorer, too. He has this in him. You know, this was not just a once-in-a-lifetime type thing for Prince Owusu. Great stuff. We move on to football fit check, Mario. Lead the way here, brother. What are we looking at here?
Yeah, so the guys came out to warm up for the match ahead, the New York Red Bulls, and we saw this, a little bit of red there. And then the thing that stuck out to me about these are called actually the One Planet kit. This is the One Planet kit.
They use it
for warm-ups. Yeah, they use it for the warm-ups. We saw the collar here, which is kind of cool. The collar does kind of look like it's kind of like black, and it's really sharp, and it's bent down there. I love that, and I like the little touch of red. So some LAFC fans, you know, they want to mix up the colors, right?
Sure,
Sometimes you have a red shoes that you want to wear that day, or white and red shoes. You can get something like this and still represent for LAFC, but you can have a little bit of a red touch to it. So that's what I kind of like. So, I mean, if you're a fan out there that likes this, you can go to the HQ store. You can go to the HQ store at the next game and pick one of these up, because these are pretty cool. The tan with the red and the little bit of black is cool.
You know that I'm the most modest man in the history of broadcasting, right? We know that. But I'm also a guy who tells the truth about himself. I would look hideous in this thing, and I love it. I think it's fantastic. I would look awful in this warm-up jersey. You would rock this thing. We see a picture of Ilya Sanchez if you watch on YouTube with it. He looks great in it. It would look awful on me, and I love it, but I love it, though. I really do. I think it's fantastic. I like. Certainly, there's a lot of subtlety with some of the design, because you can't see it from a distance. Obviously, that's purposeful, you know.
Right.
It really looks sharp up close, too. This thing is, very nice. Very nice.
I like it.
Yeah, yes. Me too. I do, too. What else I like is something we're going to move on to right now is we got a contest. This is episode 10, Mario. Forgot to say happy episode 10.
Yeah, I love it. It's been flying by, having a blast.
We should be singing happy episode 10 song to it. Yeah, unbelievable. Mm-hmm. We appreciate all the support. So I want to start this contest right now. And it is going to be a bit of a phase, kind of, you know, a few weeks here. And Mario and I wanted to do something for people listening and everything. So we're going to do a little contest. The winner will get my season tickets, a pair of tickets, good seats to an LAFC match in the future. We'll try to work that out with whoever wins, you know. And what we're going to do is we're going to give out a phrase of the week for the next three shows, right? Every show comes out usually early in the week, right? Generally on a, you're generally seeing these late Mondays, if you will, you know, afternoon Mondays in, you know, in LA or whatever. But then, you know, so for the next 3 weeks, episode 10, 11, and 12, we're going to give a phrase of the week. After that 12th show, I'll tell you a time during that show. We'll give all three, one a week. So you have to find them. We're not going to tell you where they are in the show. They could be different times. Keep those phrases of the week. Then after that third time, I'm going to tell you when to go on Twitter. Follow me at TalkSoccer. And then you'll have to just tell us those three phrases, right? So first three, the three phrases. I'll give a time specifically when I'll start looking. And you can't, you know, you can hit me up on Twitter at TalkSoccer. Maybe we'll do, you know, and, you know, put up a thing. First person to do that will win the tickets with all three phrases correctly, of course. The first phrase, which is the phrase of the week for this one, this episode.
Get ready, 10. Everybody. Here it goes.
Yeah.
First phrase. Write this one down.
Yeah. Keep track, because you have 3 weeks to wait. Yeah. You got to stay with us.
This is the first one.
Yeah. Black and gold.
Black and gold. That's easy it. Enough. Easy to remember. Jot it down if you have to.
Too much of this, we move on, right? We want to make sure, we want to make people try to find it in the show. You got to find it in the show each and every week. So phrase number one, black and gold. Around the rest of MLS, this is a fun thing that Mario and I wanted to do. We decided that we want to talk about, we'll make a little list here because it's kind of fun. And it's our top 10 players that we love to watch who don't play for LAFC, right? Of course, we see LAFC every match. I've watched every game LAFC has ever played. So, you know, like we know.
Yes.
Yes, of course. But we wanted to talk about some of the guys we see around the rest of the league. So
that's the purpose of the podcast, right? LAFC Plus. Let's talk about the plus. Let's talk about the rest of the league.
This is the plus. Excellent job, Mario. That's exactly right. So we start with Lionel Messi. We both have him. Yes. That's a no duh. We're not doing 1 to 10 here. This is not like we're not ranking.
No order.
But yeah. No order, but of course we both just throw out Messi, of course. I am never going to miss a Messi game if I can help it, ever.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't have that many left, realistically, since he's already 36. It's not like he's 20 anymore, and we got his whole career ahead of him. He's still got time, thankfully, and he'll be around for a few years, but I'm not going to miss a Leo Messi game. I'm just not.
He just put on a show this weekend. He's going to put on a show the whole rest of the year, so don't miss it. That's pretty much all we got to say about Lionel Messi.
That's easy. I'll start and Mario will go, but we'll both talk about these players. My first one, who's, again, no particular order. I hate to say it because it kind of is painful. Diego Rossi.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love watching Diego Rossi play with this Columbus Crew team. We always remember what he did for LAFC. Just, chef's kiss. Diego Rossi is that kind of player, no doubt. And I just, he's just magical. He pops up the toughest times. He scores big goals. He wants to win. He always plays hard. I mean, the guy never left an ounce of any kind of effort anywhere but the pitch, right? You never doubt that Diego Rossi gives you every last ounce of what he has. And he's a winner. And Mario, we see that even in, you know, going up and battling the teams that are battling in the Champions Cup. He scores. I don't care. Like,
he's a guy that came to MLS that was kind of, you know, a little bit raw, but he's actually developed into a special player, right? He almost had an Olympico goal over the weekend versus Portland, which was, it was going in. The keeper barely got a hand on it, but that was an Olympico that was going in. That was pretty cool to see. And he is a huge part of that team success right now over there in Columbus, and a big reason why they won the MLS Cup last season. So with that head coach, Wilfred Nancy, he re-signed a contract over there. So that's good for Rossi and Columbus. Yeah.
Good for MLS.
Big news there. Big news, actually.
That's one thing, you know, real quick that people don't think about in MLS. Look, we always talk about the salary cap. Okay. You have to live by those salary cap rules. That does restrict you somewhat in the terms of players. You might lose a guy. Look at LAFC. We've had to face those issues.
Yeah.
But there's no limits on what you can spend on your coach. Right, that's only limited by the budget you have as an organization or want to spend. Go get a great coach.
He's worth it for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just no doubt. And Wilfred Nancy's a part of that. Speaking of him and Columbus Crew, we go from Diego Rossi to your first choice,
Yeah, he's actually my favorite player to watch in MLS that does not wear an LAFC jersey, and that is Cucho Hernandez, Diego Rossi's teammate over there in Columbus. And to me, he's just one of the most hungriest, most dangerous, just like stone cold killers in MLS. And he was celebrating his birthday over the weekend as well, Dave, talking about that whole birthday thing we got going on. And he bagged himself a goal versus Portland. And he just has that confidence. And it seems like, you know, he has that fire and that emotion that you want in that player, you know, to lead your team.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I love him.
Well, we've seen some, you know, we've seen a little bit of butting heads between him and Nancy. You know, he got suspended, but it all seems like it's all good and it's working out.
It almost seems like it's working out now, yeah.
Almost scored the winner in that game against Portland. The last kick.
A beauty.
I think it hit every post. All three posts somehow this free kick hit.
It hit one post to the next post, and it went behind the keeper. It rolled behind the keeper and did not go in.
If
it
was Pantemis something to see. Just accidentally, you know, moves his leg wrong or something, he's going to knock it in because it goes right, like Mario said, on the line, goes right past. Oh, just insane. He's phenomenal. Great choice. One of my players that I have to watch, one of my top players in MLS that's not an LAFC player, is Luca Orellano. New signing for Cincinnati. Orellano's like a wing back and just gets up and down the pitch. And what I like about him is, yes, he defends, but man, this guy can score.
He can finish too, Dave. Yeah.
He's got a real nice, like, he's just got a really nice, well-rounded game. You know, you saw them lose their most recent left back. Oh my gosh. The name, holy cow. Great player. It's escaping me now. But they lose him. And now they just go get this guy to fit. You know what I mean? So Cincinnati and what they're doing. You just got to trust them if you're a Cincinnati FC Cincinnati fan. Their organization has made a complete 180.
And he's teamed up with Lucho Acosta. So, you know, if you have him on your team, as a matter of fact, they teamed up this weekend and they bagged a goal together. So that's a nice little combo to watch there in Cincinnati.
Orellano is very, very interesting. Very interesting player. Mario, who's your next choice?
We're going to go with another former LAFC star in Chicho Arango, who is just cooking up all year long so far. 8 goals on the season, Dave, leading all of MLS.
6 leading, assists, too.
Yeah, 6 assists as well to go along with those leading 8 goals. Tied for the lead in assists there. Man, he's just been putting RSL on his back. Yeah. They're sitting third in the West. But, man, a cheeky goal this weekend where he megged the keeper as well with a Travella. And then he has a header goal off of the corner.
Wide
you
open.
You just see his swagger. Every time he scores a goal, it's like, this is just me. This is what I do. He's not surprised. He's not over-exaggerating with the celebration because he's like, I'm supposed to do this. This is what I do. I'm Chicho.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Scores any kind of goal you want from any position. Yeah, he is a revelation to watch, no doubt. And, you know, certainly we got a really hard look at that for a number of seasons that we love, no doubt about it. But he's just continuing to do that. I think he's outscored like 2 or 3 teams so far this season in MLS.
Yeah, I think so.
That's very telling. One of my favorites, and he's injured now. I kind of alluded to him earlier with the Prince Owusu goal, is Lorenzo Insigne. Look, I mean, enigmatic. He's got, you know, whatever you want to say. Maybe he's, you know, not your style or whatever. Just world class. I'm sorry, he just absolutely exudes it. He's that good. This is a guy who you throw him onto the pitch with any team, any situation, any league, and I mean any, you know, starting, whatever, you need somebody who can play. He can fit right into any team in the world. That's just the bottom line. And he's just incredible. And certainly Toronto, any points they get without him in the lineup are just absolute gravy. I mean, that's amazing because he's just that dominant.
You know, he's one of the highest paid players in all of MLS, and rightfully so. He's such a treat to watch, especially when he cooks up. I mean, he is just, when he's strong and healthy, there's nobody in the league that can stop him, really, except for himself. And unfortunately, he's injured right now. But, man, what a treat to watch him play.
Yeah, I like to say, like, I can't take my eyes off of him. You know, like, it is the best effect in that sense, right? There's not that many guys. But the next guy on your list is definitely one of them, I think. You can't look away.
let's enjoy this guy while he is here, Dave, because he's young, and I think a lot of teams are going to be coming after him.
Yeah.
And so let's just enjoy it because he's not going to be here much longer. So the Argentine Thiago Almada for Atlanta United, just 22 years young, and he's a human highlight reel, like they was saying. Almost every time he touches the ball, he's going to do something special, and he just had a spectacular goal over the weekend against Cincinnati. I know we saw that together as well, Dave. He bended that around the far post. Just a blockbuster type of guy every single time, every single match.
But the enigma that is Atlanta because of him, like, it's not like they over-rely on Almada, right? That's not their problem, where some teams are just so built around one player. Like, they have other talent. But immediately after he scores a world-class goal, Mario, they give up two goals in like 5 minutes. You know, it's just like, they don't – there's just something about Atlanta, and yet it's not about Thiago Almada, man. You throw that guy in any pitch in the world. Like, he's got the confidence. He Argentine World Cup winner already, you know, at his age. I mean, yeah, you're 100% right. No doubt about it. Love him. My next choice is a guy who's we talked about it just because we play. He's a bit of an enigma in a weird way. I think he's turned the corner in that sense where he's comfortable now, and that's Evander. Mm-hmm. He just drips talent. It just falls off of him everywhere he is on the pitch. Like, I hate to say it because we're going to have to play him again this week, but I'm hoping he falls into a little slump for at least 90 minutes here. But you have to watch this guy that, again, didn't light it up last season when he first came to the league. You know, you saw the talent. He had a fine season. It was perfect. But for the money they spent, you expect more, and now he's delivering. There's no doubt about it. He's
dynamic, confident. He can pass. He can finish. Yeah, I'm definitely expecting a big year out of Evander this year. I'm keeping a close eye on him. And with that stacked up Portland team, they're going to do some damage. Yeah.
Now, I love your next choice. This is Mario's last selection here on this top 10 of players that we love to watch in MLS that aren't LAFC players. This is a great choice. I love this one.
We just saw him a few days ago at BMO Stadium. Lewis Morgan, a guy we've been talking about here on LAFC Plus, the 27-year-old Scottish international. Didn't really, you know, pan out his first two seasons there at Inter Miami. He did okay, but something has clicked. It happens, but something has clicked there with the New York Red Bulls this season. 6 goals already and just 9 matches for him here in 2024. And I think he's just getting started, honestly, Dave. I think he's really going to do big things. And with the group that he has around him, you know, he has Van Zier, he has Forsberg, and the new head coach over there, Sandro Schwartz. He's doing an amazing job there. They have a chance to do some really damage there in the Eastern Conference.
It's funny. I'll let you behind the curtain as a listener, if you're listening to the podcast. Mm-hmm. At halftime, we get off like the air for a quick break right before the halftime show starts, which we also do. But so, you know, we have a few minutes there for commercials right after the first half. Normally, Mario and I will just say what's going on, what do we feel, you know, how's it. And this is one of the times Mario mentioned a specific player at halftime. Like, normally it's just like, oh, yeah, all about LAFC. How are they going to – what are they going to do? You know, where are we at in this match? And Mario was just like, oh, Lewis Morgan. Yeah, Mario probably doesn't even remember saying it, but it was just like you could tell. I knew you might add him to this list because we had been talking, just because you were like, wow, this guy is like really, you know, now that we're seeing it firsthand, because we, you know, obviously we watch the guy on TV, but really everywhere.
There's some players that don't like the bright lights, right? Mm-hmm. And there's some players that are good, but when the big moments happen, they don't show up. Lewis Morgan is a guy who seems to love these big moments, and he wants to be him. He wants to be him. So expect big things from him.
Oh, by the way, 3 goals against Inter Miami on a big stage. So whenever Inter Miami.
Oh, yeah, and he's had hat-tricks before in MLS. Yeah. He had it in 2022. He had another hat-trick, so that's nothing new to him.
Yeah, and my final choice might surprise some people, but it's Mason Toy for Montreal. Okay. And he's been around with Minnesota United. Hasn't, you know, 20 goals, I think, in his whole career in MLS in regular season play. So not like lighting it up. He's not usually not a starter, frankly. Doesn't break through a lot in the starting lineup often. Doesn't play a ton of – there's something about this guy. He's still only like 25. It's just he's a guy that I have to watch when he's on the pitch. Like, there's just some things that he can do. Again, still has to kind of put it all together maybe, or he's just not – I don't know. But even for guys who are on the bench a lot sometimes, like, this guy reminds me – not in the way they play, but just how he can have an impact. Is a guy like Ismail Tajiri Shradi when he was in the league.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of time with LAFC, you know, a cup of coffee with LAFC. But a guy like, holy cow, like he can just change a game just like that. You know, like he might not be a guy that's going to start 30 games. Now with Tajiri Shradi, a lot of times it was injuries kind of slowed him down a little bit. But like for Mason Toy, I don't know, maybe he just hasn't quite clicked or whatever, but just a really good talent. I just, you have to keep an eye on him. And it's a guy who he plays with now too, that I almost picked. A couple of others, maybe if you have another guy you want to talk about, Mario, but I want to get your Bryce Duke. I can't can't keep my eyes off this guy. He doesn't like light up the stat sheet or anything, but just knows how to play. Maybe it's because we saw him practicing when he was a kid at LAFC, literally a child, you know, like when he first got there, and how he, and a guy like Duncan Maguire for Orlando. Okay. And it's specifically a reason for Maguire. Mario, he hits a ball. He scored a couple of goals. I don't know if I can even explain it on the podcast well enough. I hope I can. Where they, it's like a knuckleball.
Yeah.
That, not how a baseball knuckleball where it moves, but you don't see this, you know, it doesn't actually rotate. Right. His ball doesn't rotate, but it also doesn't like leave the plane that he kicked. Like it's a rocket. And it doesn't do anything but go exactly where he put his foot through it. And he scored a few of those goals, like a cross body kind of shots where the keeper, like he's going one way, and then he, but it's like he's on the other side of the pitch and he goes across the field with a shot. And it's like, oh, pick it out of the back of the net. It's going in. Like it looks like it's on a magnet to the back of the net. It's just,
he must know something we do not know. I think he's hitting the ball right there on that little, the hole where you put the needle at.
Maybe.
I think he's hitting it square right there, so he gets no rotation.
Oh, my goodness. They're just incredible goals. And, yeah, again, that's not easy to duplicate, and maybe that doesn't happen all the time. But specifically for that kind of reason, I like to watch him play with Orlando.
You know who else I like to watch, though, is Hani Mukhtar. And I would have put him on there, but he just really hasn't found his form quite yet this season. I think he will. I think he probably will. He's one of the better talents in the entire league. But I just couldn't throw him in the top 10. Maybe later on in the season we can do this again and maybe he'll be in there.
No, I can't disagree. Another few things around arrest. That's a great list, by the way. I think, you know.
Yeah, that was fun, Dave. I like that.
Yeah, hit us up at Talk Soccer. At where are you at on the socials, Mario? Let them know.
At I am Mario Ruiz. At I am Mario Ruiz. Hit us up.
Yeah, let us know who are players, you know, not LAFC players, but players from around the rest of MLS that you can't take your eyes off of. You got to watch.
I would love to hear that.
I had to watch Steven Moreira's blast against Portland. And time and time, I've watched probably 15 times already the replays. You have to go see this goal. Ties the game up. Ends up 2-2. Remember we talked about Cucho almost making it a 3-2 victory in the last, literally the last kick of the match. But Moreira's goal, wow, this thing is a blast. Mm-hmm. Maybe a candidate for goal of the year. I mean, I don't know how it can't be. It has to be, Mario. This thing was
That's what I have written in my notes. Maybe goal of the year, a rocket, a banger, just post, upper 90. Nobody can touch that. Nobody can save that. I don't care who you are. From distance, too. How far do you think that was? Maybe 25, 30 yards out there?
Oh, yeah. 30 plus, I think.
Yeah. 30 plus. Yeah.
It was well outside of the 18. I mean, you know, give or take, but it just a rocket. And it's one of the, you know, a lot of times guys will hit it hard. It's in the 40th row by the time it lands. I mean, it's just no way you can. This thing was low. And that's why I always say, like, on. It looked like a goal kick on some level because those low and lean kind of like long kick. This thing was just, it was still rising when it went in the net, you know, just
exactly barely. Still rising. Great barely. Description.
Yeah. Like it was
still rising. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Just on a trajectory. That's like, yeah, that's going, you're just going to have to pick that one out of the net. There's nothing anybody's going to do about it. In fact, if you watch a replay of it, actually see a video of it, go back and watch. And I caught this like on the second or third viewing that day. We were watching this game in the booth getting ready for the LAFC match. Go watch Mo Farsi, the right back. As soon as Moreira puts the laces through, Farsi's arms go up like this thing is going in. I don't know how he knows yet because obviously he's seeing it a lot closer than we were. But he starts celebrating before that ball's even close to going in the net. Like he just knew he hit it perfect. Like it was a goal. Yeah. Soon as it leaves your toe, it's a goal. And that is like fantastic from 30 plus. I mean, it was amazing strike.
Dave, before we move on and get out of this little topic here, I want to know your thoughts on some of the initiatives MLS implemented over the weekend.
Yeah,
because I know there was some new initiatives that came in, and they're pretty important ones. And yeah, I want to get your first reaction. This is our first weekend of it.
I have no problem with any of them. Mm-hmm. I love the 10-second substitution rule. You got to get off the pitch somewhere within 10 seconds, otherwise the sub player coming in has to wait a minute. That's perfectly mm-hmm. fine by me. Seem to work very well in all the MLS games. The one I have a little concern about, and I don't have a problem with it because I hate time wasting for people who are faking injuries, is the one that tries to deal with that. If you're down for more than I think 15 seconds, you then have to go off. You might get the trainers to come out. You have mm-hmm. to go off the pitch, and then they have to reassess you for like 2 minutes, right?
Yeah.
So if it takes longer than 15 seconds, if you're injured, you have to go off and. That kind of hurts people who get legitimately injured, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're down a man, yeah.
You know, and that's not, mm-hmm. that seems against the spirit of the time-wasting thing, which I'm all for, trying to stop that.
Right.
But the problem becomes, so I make a bad tackle.
Right.
I injure you. You have to go off the pitch, but then you got to be reassessed for 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's not fair. I mean, that in a way, you still might have been off that long. Because of the injury, I don't like it for that reason either. You know, it's almost promoting, well, I better really injure this dude and then he'll have to sit out for at least, you know, I don't know.
I would kind of like this on a somebody who's flopping. If somebody flops and takes a dive, I would love it there.
But here's the thing,
Lauren. Oh, you're hurt? Go take 2 minutes on the sideline for flopping.
Yeah, agreed. Totally. I totally get that. But there is the fact that you can add time after a match or, extra. Yeah. So the referee has the discretion of stoppage time. So that should curb that a little. But mm-hmm. also, don't just leave it at 2 minutes then. If you really want to stop flopping, let the referee make that decision. Leave him off for 5-6 minutes. You know, just keep saying, no, sorry, I think you might still be hurt. You know, like make a mockery mm-hmm. of it to the guy then. I don't care. Leave him out.
Yeah.
That'll stop that. Now, this rule does somewhat help that. But again, it almost hurts the people who are legitimately stepped on or whatever, or maybe they could get back in 30 seconds or a minute, but no, mm-hmm. it's got to be 2 minutes, you know, like that. I don't know. It's a minor point.
Yeah. I did like the referees announcing over the microphone, the stadium PA announcing their VR decisions.
Yeah, it's fine.
That was a little bit of entertainment value added on. I think it adds a little bit to the drama, you know, everybody waits and to see what the referee has to say, and he says his decision.
It's completely and utterly unnecessary, but totally fine. Because I think people thought they're going to explain the calls. You don't have time for that.
I think it just adds to the entertainment value.
I mean, that's fine. Yeah. I have no problem with what you're saying. I'm not against it. But lest people thought they were going to be like, well, we saw him kind of step on the... No, they're not explaining it to you. They're just telling you what's happening. That's perfectly fine. Yeah, I have no problem with it, but...
And especially for our radio broadcast, it adds a little bit more too, right?
I would agree.
Listeners get to hear the refs. So just the entertainment value goes up a little bit, I think, with the refs.
That's a very good point, yeah.
Doing that. And if it adds more entertainment for the list, for the fans, then I'm up for that.
I like your thinking there. Speaking of entertainment, LAFC hosting Portland Timbers as we wrap up the show here. Another interesting matchup because we've played them in less than 2 weeks ago. By the time they play, it'll be 2 weeks. Second time in 3 games. 7 o'clock Pacific for the pregame on the ESPN LA app. We'll start on the app. Lakers wrap up whenever they finish up their potential, their game in the playoffs. We'll join in progress on 710 ESPN in the Southern California area. But no matter where you are in the country, download the ESPN LA app, click the button that's LAFC, boom, you got us. So that'll be at 7 o'clock for the pregame, kickoff a little after 7:30. Mario, great stuff, man. We're rolling on episode 10. I can't believe it.
Yeah, I can't wait for that match against Portland. Maxime, comes back here, and he's going to want to run that one back for sure after getting the red card early on in that match. So he's going to make his return to BMO Stadium, and we get to see Evander, who's one of our favorites to watch in all of MLS. And, I mean, they're loaded. Like we said, we learned that. We learned that in the match a couple of days ago, how this Portland team is just loaded with Jonathan Rodriguez, Felipe Mora. Yeah. It's going to be a good one at BMO Stadium. Come join us.
Absolutely. One of the weird rules, real quick, Maxime Crépeau gets a red card, misses a game against someone else because of the red card against us. True. Committing a foul against us.
Yeah.
When we play them the week after. I know
he comes back, yeah.
I know schedules don't always work out that way. You can't, like, hold a guy out for, you know, waiting. But it seems odd that you can, like, beat up someone, create a red card. Not that Maxime did anything wrong necessarily on that way. But, like, you know, you can go in, slide tackle a dude and really injure him, get a red card, miss a game against whoever the next game. You know, like, it's just weird. Yeah. How, like, you know. But in this case, the schedule's quirky. Maxime right back to it. So he'll have.
And it's weird how the storylines work out in sports, right? Where Maxime, he's playing against his former club and then he exits the match early. And then we have Aaron Long, same thing. You know, he's going against New York, a team that he really wanted to play against. He had a lot of history with that club. Unfortunately, he goes out early. So just sports is just so wild like that. I mean, you just can't write the stuff that happens in sports. And that's why we love it.
Can't write what happens on LAFC Plus. Sometimes we don't even know. Great stuff, Mario.
Great stuff, Dave.